Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
Major Downer is with us, going to get right to him, but we do have a major national sports story I want to toss out very quickly. Villanova coach Jay Wright, according to Jeff Goodman, John Rothstein, retiring as coach at Villanova, one of the nation's top basketball coaches, and that is just breaking a few minutes ago. So just coming down, Jay Wright retiring as coach at Villanova.
Sorry, Corn, just to add on to that, John Rothstein is also reporting that Fordham's Kyle Neptune is expected to be named Jay Wright's successor. So that's two major stories right there.
Okay, we welcome in the major, Billy Downer. Sorry for interrupting your time there, but that was just coming down, wanting to get it out. How are you this evening, sir?
No, we're good. We're good, Phil. It's a spring break edition today.
Which means what around DNR?
Spring break across. Yeah, we got warm and cold weather, you know. I saw something on one of the social media pages the other day. Somebody posted, said, weather in South Carolina. It showed somebody in flip-flops one day, sweater the next, you know, shorts the next day, and then, you know, full sweater again. South Carolina's like that. We can't ever decide when it's going to be hot for a long time or cold for a long time. It kind of mixes back and forth. So.
Yeah. We got a good week going on. Let me ask you real quick, coming off the RBC Heritage down at Harbortown with those huge crowds, was DNR involved in any the action down there from a protective services standpoint or maybe helping out of the wildlife or anything?
Not really. Typically, we get called in. There's something, you know, the golf courses are where we get called in with gators a lot sometimes. So if they don't already have some type of management permit, where they're controlling their own problems. But, you know, again, Phil, you managed to get gators into the conversation once again.
I didn't say the word gators. I said wildlife issues.
Yes, wildlife issues. But that would certainly be the wildlife issue on a golf course is alligators. So anyway, we're that, you know, it's that time of year. It's starting to warm up. Gators are starting to be more active. So people are going to start seeing those alligators in areas that they haven't for the last months because it's been cold. So just one of those things to keep in mind as you're out and about in the great outdoors, particularly boating season. As boating season begins to ramp up here, the warmer weather, spring break, a lot of folks out on Lake Murray. Striper fishing is still doing very well on Lake Murray. Last few weeks have been great in the month of April here for stripers. Guys are catching, you know, full limits, doing a really good job. If you haven't gone striper fishing on Lake Murray, now's a good time to go. I don't think it's gone yet. Of course, you know, it goes all the way, but that fishery goes all the way into the summertime with the first five and out. So anyhow, we talk about stripers all the time on Lake Murray, but that certainly is worth talking about almost every month because it's a really good fishery. So
all right, let me toss our phone number out there. If you have a question or comment for Major Downer, you have a question about anything with the great outdoors, maybe you have a question about licensing or making sure you have all the proper permits for your boat or for any of the your equipment that requires a license or a permit, phone number 888-898-2525. You can get right through and ask Major Downer a question. I have one for you. You know, we talk so much about safe boating, which, of course, should be on everybody's mind. What about safety in non-motorized flotation devices like canoes and kayaks? I bring this up because I just recently bought a kayak for a family member, and I was told as I was buying it that you must have a whistle attached inside the kayak for safety purposes. Well, what are some of the things that people need to know? I didn't know that until I bought it. What are some of the things you need to know?
What have you been listening to the last 5 years?
Well, I didn't know about the whistle. I didn't know about the whistle part.
So it is a good question, and folks get hung up on motorized vessels a lot. And they think, if it's a motorized vessel, I got to have certain things. If it's not, I don't. Well, that's not true. In South Carolina, or in any state, the Coast Guard rules apply to boating. So if you've got a non-motorized vessel like a kayak, a canoe, and you're on, you know, public water, you still got to have a sound device to alert folks. Let's say you're out there and you get caught in the fog. The only way you're going to be able to let somebody know where you are, that you're there, is whistling every few seconds. So that is just something to keep in mind, Phil. That's real. Also, you know, life jackets are always required on any vessel on the water. Vessel does not mean motorized. Vessel is anything like a kayak, a canoe, even a paddle boat. Folks a lot of times forget that paddle boats are vessels too, and you've got to have a life jacket on if you're out in the lake on a paddle boat, because I have seen them flip, and folks can still drown. Again, it's not about the motorized vessel. It's not about how fast you're going. It's about falling in the water and literally, you know, gasping at the wrong time. And, you know, folks unfortunately take a gallon of water down and they drown.
Mm-hmm.
They can drown falling out of a pontoon boat. They can drown falling out of a bass boat. And they can drown falling out of a paddle boat, so, or kayak. So life jackets are required. Again, in those boats, you know, wearable style life jackets are required. You can have a type 2 or type, you know, 1, 2, or 3, and you can have a flotation device, a inflatable device, type 3, but it has to be worn. So if you don't wear it, you got to make sure, if you've got one of these self-inflators, you got to make sure it's tight, that especially doesn't have to be worn. So that's kind of sticky there. A lot of people like to go on. I've seen people a lot of times, paddleboards became a big deal in the last few years. Folks like to get on paddleboards, like a big surfboard, and paddle around in the waterways. And they don't want to wear a life jacket.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, it's about you falling in and drowning. And people go, well, I'm not going to drown. Well, you know, that's the guy that drowns every time. The one that says, I'm not going to drown. So, but people like to take the life jackets and strap them to the back of the, on the back side of the paddleboard. And that does meet the requirement. You've got it on board. You're not wearing it, but you got it on board. I got it. But it has to be there for you to get on. Now, what doesn't help is when you fall in.
Mm.
When you fall in and you don't have your life jacket on, well, you don't have your life jacket on. It's just like in a boat, any other type of boat. It's just not on, it's not on. So those are just things that people need to keep in mind. You know, I hate to say user beware, but it's just you know, common sense. You ought to be wearing a life jacket if you're out there in deep water. You know, if you can't stand up in, make sure you're wearing a life jacket. If you fall in at the wrong time, And here's the thing that people don't think about. Unseen hazards, something submerged. You're out there paddleboarding or you're canoeing around and you fall in and hit your head on a stump under the water, or you hit your head on anything that could be out there and you're unconscious. You ain't got a life jacket on, guess what? You're drowning. And that's just a sad fact. Again, I say this so many times, it's so unavoidable. Just wear your life jacket. It's too easy.
Yeah.
Again, non-motorized device, doesn't matter what kind of boat it is, you've got to have a life jacket for everybody on board of that boat. If you're the only one on, you've got to have a life jacket for yourself there. And a whistle or sound device. That's required on any boat. So that's just something to keep in mind, Phil. For anybody buying canoes, paddle boards, kayaks, even paddle boats.
All right. Let's get to the phones for you, Major. 888-898-2525. That's the South Carolina Education Lottery lucky number into Sports Talk and into SC Wild with the Major, Billy Downer. We go to Charlie in Prosperity. Charlie, welcome in. You're on the air with Major Downer. Go right ahead.
Hello, Major Downer. Hello, Phil. Can y'all hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear you, Charlie? How you doing tonight?
All right. I'm good. This, you're going to laugh, but it's a serious issue. I've got, I live on the lake between Newberry and Saluda counties. And here recently, I've been in the same spot for about 15 years, but here in the last 3 or 4 months, beavers are eating my wood fence.
Ooh.
And I've got all these nice trees all around me that the beavers could eat. But instead of eating the nice trees, they're eating my treated wood fence.
Ooh.
And my dog, I have a German Shepherd, and they'll eat a slat in it, and the dog will get out, and then I have to put the dog back in and go out and replace the slat. and it's probably they probably ate 25 slats on my picket fence.
Oh my
so
gosh!
What can I do?
Oh my
That's
gosh!
That's crazy. You're treated wood.
You're not the first person, and you won't be the last to have a confound beaver eating something you don't want him to eat.
What kind of beaver?
Confound beaver. They're good at making dams, and they're good at making you say the word damn a lot, too. Beavers are an incredible animal. They are God's wonder of nature as far as how they can stop water up. But they are also a wonder of trouble when they begin to eat things you don't want. I've seen people at the lake put metal shields or take, galvanized metal and put around the base of poles. That's something you can do. I know it's maybe unsightly, but it may be enough to keep beavers and have them go somewhere else for a while. That is one option. Of course, you can get a trap to trap them. Again, it becomes a little bit tricky trapping a beaver in open water like that. There are some different things you can do. You could hire a trapper, but again, the thing to worry about there is you don't want to use a conibear trap, which is a trap that crushes the beaver, because if you've got dogs, your neighbor's got dogs, you're going to end up with a problem if you snap a dog in that, because it's going to hurt something. So you are limited a little bit with what devices you could use, but they can be controlled. I would suggest getting a trapper involved. Some nuisance trappers out there that can handle that probably. If you can call our radio room, they've got a list of the nuisance trappers out there, I believe, that could help you. Or you can go online to South Carolina Trappers Association. There's a list of guys that might be willing to help you that do this for a living, that trap nuisance beavers. Again, you got some options. They're a little bit limited. Some of them are a little unsightly, but it is kind of what it is. If beavers are tearing down the docks, the next thing they're going to tear down, it's going to be horrible.
Well, I'll have to ask my wife about the unsightly part. We may have to go with the trapper, but anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. It's the first time I've had to deal with this.
Well, you're not the first. Again, you won't be the last. I hate to tell you that. But anytime we live in nature, we're going to deal with the creation that's there. And beavers, sometimes they're great and sometimes they're horrible. This is one of the times they're bad. People love them when they build a dam and back water up. And the same people sometimes hate them when they start killing trees. So it is what it is. But good luck to you.
Yep. Yeah. Thank you. Have a good evening. Thank you.
Thank you. So, there's nothing you can put out there to kind of scare them away, maybe a scent or maybe some kind of fake bird or something?
There's no scent. I mean, you could go out there and put a fence up, but now you got a fence on the lake and nobody wants to do that. I've seen people, like I said, put metal shrouds around stuff to keep them off of it, but that becomes a little unsightly and people don't like that. If they're up there eating slats in his wooden fence, that's not going to work. They're just going. They decide to eat something, and they're pulling on it.
How quickly do they eat their way through a board?
Fast.
Yeah.
One night they'll eat through it. I mean, they can fall a tree in a night. So
yeah.
Not a real big tree. It takes them a while. Now, there's some trees that it takes years. That they just sharpen the teeth on, basically. But because their teeth are always a little unheard of fact with beavers, their teeth are always growing, and if they don't chew something, those teeth will grow through the roof of the mouth, keep growing. Yeah, so they literally have to basically hone their teeth. They have to eat all the time to keep those teeth worn down, otherwise they'll continue to grow.
I did not know that.
I've seen a beaver. Yeah, I've seen a beaver that had that.
Let me throw the number out there again. 888-898-2525. That's the number. Now, Major Billy Downer here taking questions about any of your problems. That was a very unique one. Maybe you have something
had
as well.
Question.
Yeah, that's a great question.
We haven't had that question in a while. It was a good
one. That's a great question. Let's go to, let's see. Where are we going? We're going to go to, here we go. Trucker Dave in Delaware. Hello, Trucker Dave. Good to have you with us.
Yeah. All right, gentlemen.
That makes you real.
Yeah, I am real. I got you on WKDK.com, so I'm enjoying the show, boys.
Fantastic. Well, thank you.
I'm learning more about beavers than I thought I'd learn tonight.
Same for everybody.
Yeah, amen, brother. And, of course, PFD, personal flotation device, that's a must-have item if you're going to be playing on the water.
No doubt about it. That's the number one thing. Go ahead.
You bet. My question, since you're so familiar with Lake Murray, can you get out there in a boat or something and do a little magnet fishing and maybe pick up a World War II bomber or anything?
Yeah. The bombers, I think, have all been found on Lake Murray. Yeah, had they found the one way back when they knew it had gone down. But how many years ago was that, Phil?
Many.
20 years ago?
More? Many, yeah.
Yeah, maybe 30. Yeah, but as far as that does bring up some interesting questions for recreational diving on Lake Murray and
right.
trying to find things like that. You got to talk to your public service authority that's in charge of the lake. Because they regulate that, and that it's their lake to regulate. So it's one of those things you got to be careful with. A lot of folks want to go and treasure hunt and things. You just got to check with your local service authority to make sure that you are within their regulations on that lake. So that's a question that you would have to ask them. I do not know if you can do that.
Am I hearing a rooster in the background or something?
Heads up, gentlemen.
You did.
Yeah.
You did.
I'd hate to get down there to visit my brother who lives in that area and say, hey, let's go out with a big magnet and let's see what we can find and find ourselves in a lot of trouble like that beaver's going to find himself in.
Absolutely. Phil, that's a shout out to the Gamecocks here in the country. Come on.
I hear that.
All right, gentlemen, carry on.
Dave, what are you hauling?
Oh, well, right now I got me a load of them ramen noodles, taking it up to New Jersey.
From where'd you pick it up?
College kids love that stuff.
Where'd you pick it up?
Every college student's favorite.
That's
noodle.
Right. It seems like it. It's a poor man's buffet, I guess.
Well,
they make them down there in Richmond, Virginia.
Well, you travel safely, and call us again. We appreciate it.
Well, I'll tune in whenever I can, and like I said, keep up the good work, and may the good fishing be yours.
You got it, sir. Thank you very much. Trucker Dave in Delaware. May the good fishing be yours, Major. You going fishing this weekend?
Phil, we had a big night tonight, Trucker Dave. We got him calling off the road tonight.
I like
that's
that.
Pretty good shout out, Trucker Dave, for calling in.
And we learned all about beavers, and their teeth continue to grow nonstop. I did not know that. Yeah.
That's right.
That might be my new animal. The beaver might replace the alligator on this show as the wildlife of choice.
Of course, the wildlife question of choice.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Not to hang on beavers, but since we've talked so much about them, I might as well finish out tonight with them. But beavers are one of our fur bearers. They're able to be trapped on private land year round with what's called a depredation permit. So folks that have trouble with beavers on private land, not on a public lake, it's a little bit different. That's why you have to go to a nuisance trapper to take care of that. But a fur bearer, they are fur bearers, and they can be trapped during trapping season, which is December, January, February. But outside of that, depredation permits for folks who have problems with beavers that are backing up ponds. The most common problem beavers cause is they stop up spillways in private ponds. And that's a troublesome, especially when you have a big flood or a lot of rain. The spillway doesn't drain because the beavers got it dammed up, and they will actually dam it from the bottom up, which is pretty incredible. They will dive down and pack mud at the bottom, at the base of one of those pipes. A lot of pipes have a half pipe that goes down, and the water comes from the bottom up as designed. It's supposed to pull water from the middle of the pond, depth-wise. But that's the main problem. And so that's one of the big ones there. And trapping beavers when they're down there at the bottom of a pond like that can be hard. A lot of folks use what's called a snare. So you can use a snare on a water set. Snares are particularly dangerous sometimes because you can catch non-target species and snares, basically get around the neck. And folks get upset about that sometimes, but that is one of the most effective ways to catch a beaver a lot of times, using a snare. On a slide, where the slide, so beavers use a slide to get in and out of the areas they frequent, and you put those snares on slides or in little pathways, and they're pretty easy to catch because you put sticks and things in the way to make them go through one zone, to kind of make them go through where you want, put that snare there, and that's how a lot of folks use them to catch things. The conibear trap is that big, it's a square-looking device that kind of X's out and it's got a spring load on it, and it will snap down and actually dispatches the beaver very quickly and humanely. Those are used a lot of times on slides as well. The problem with those is they will actually, they can hurt other animals, dogs, things. They break the jaw, and they're very strong. They'll break your hand if you're not careful with them. You have to actually use a pair of metal tool to open them up, to set them. It's always a little unnerving when I've ever had to set the conibear traps. But those are favorites for beavers. But again, you know, beavers cause problems in the timber industry by flooding areas and killing trees, which costs money. Just like it'd be just like going out there and bush hogging somebody's cornfield, basically. If you start flooding trees and they start dying, you're losing money. So beaver control is a must there. So, again, the depredation permit is the way to do that. If you have beaver problems on your property and you're looking for a depredation permit, again, you call 1-800-922-5431. That's the Operation Game Thief, 1-800-922-5431. Ask to speak to a local officer in the county where you reside or the problem is, and they'll get in touch with you. You can talk to you about the options that we could, you know, provide as far as a permit to allow you to control beavers on your property. So that's always available out there outside of trapping season. Something that happens to everybody. Again, I wrote many a depredation permit for beavers back when I was in the field. So
yeah,
and they still continue to be a problem today.
And they're gonna...
old man, the coffee shop kid, Phil, you'll love this story.
Yep.
Old guy in the coffee shop swore to me that the government dropped them out of parachutes. He said beavers were never here until they dropped them in here. Okay. But anyway.
What is your – we got about 90 seconds for you. What is your last word of advice for folks heading out this weekend, either to be on the water or do some fishing or whatever else they can do out in the fields?
Absolutely. Going out in the water this weekend, enjoy it, have a great time. Be careful. Remember, always tell somebody where you're going. If you're going to the lake, tell them what landing you're going to put in at. Be specific with that boating plan. Tell them how long you're going to be out there, when you plan to return, so that if you don't come back, they know when to start looking. Because, again, as I always say, people will wait till dark to ask for help, and you may need help before then. So, again, be specific. Tell them where you're putting in at, what landing, and when you plan to return.
Major, as always, a pleasure de jour being with you. Have a great couple of weeks, and we'll talk to you later on. Let's see, where are we at here? Oh, we'll talk to you in May, in the month of May, the merry month of May.
All right. Thanks, Phil. Have a good night.
Thank you so much. All right. Major Billy Downer from DNR, another edition of SC Wild. Quite good. We appreciate the phone calls. We'll take more phone calls for the Major as we move on through the rest of spring and the summer. Questions like we had tonight, those are great questions. I mean, you know, because they concern people who have individual issues with Mother Nature. And that's why the Major is here, to answer those questions. All right, we can finish up with a few quick notes. Winthrop and USC, 2-2, bottom of the seventh. Clemson and East Tennessee State, 4-2, top of the seventh. I should have mentioned in recruiting that South Carolina's Shane Beamer put out a commitment alert last night, and it has not been claimed yet by any individual, so we'll just have to wait and see when this person comes forward. I want to say, I know there are multiple unclaimed Beamer commitment alerts out there. To my memory, I think there might be three that are out there, that are hanging out there. I could be off on the number, but I think it's three, if my memory is right. And so we'll have to wait and see. One USC target announced tonight for UCF, Javonte Connor, tight end out of Kernersville, North Carolina. He had narrowed his list to USC, Virginia Tech, UCF, Maryland, Mississippi State, and Florida State, and he announced for UCF. So the Gamecocks have missed on two of their top tight end targets. Another USC target, safety Zabari Sandy, announced today that he'll make his commitment announcement on May the 8th. He visited USC last week. All right. Clemson made the top eight with tight end Jelani Thurman, along with Ohio State, Tennessee, Ole Miss, Alabama, Auburn, Miami, and Michigan State. USC made the top six with wide receiver Aiden Williams of Ridgeland, Mississippi, with Tennessee, Georgia, LSU, Ole Miss, and Jackson State. We'll catch up on all this recruiting stuff again tomorrow night. Thank you, Pat, and thank you, everybody. Have a great night. We'll see you tomorrow.